What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. It's also available as a podcast. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. And I'm also on Facebook. A little longer intro, a little bit of Linus for this this Christmas Day. Merry Christmas to everybody. December greetings. Insert December spiritual pleasantries here. Yes, I'm one of those people. Deal with it. So I'm not going to correct anybody. If I get any pleasantries in the month of December, I will gladly take it. So there. And Linus does one of the greatest monologues in television history. And if you don't have a lump in your throat by the end of that monologue, I can't help you. Well, it's just you and me today. I know it's been a busy day, at least at the Soci House. I was up at 7 this morning getting the turkey ready, and a good dinner was had by all of the Socis and my beautiful wife, Lynn, and my wonderful daughter, Emma. Of course, the kids' film correspondent here at Film Sociology, and, of course, my in-laws, Bill and Leanne. Thank you for coming over. Thank you for eating and living. It was safe to eat, as it was once said in the kitchen. So anyway, it's 5 o'clock Friday, and it's probably about time you're either resting, you're putting away the leftovers, and maybe you want to get out of the house. Maybe you didn't have as much fun with your relatives as I did. We played Wizard of Oz Monopoly, so there. But there are plenty of movies opening. There's 6 opening in Indianapolis this weekend, and a slew of films on DVD to catch up on. So there's bound to be something if you want to pass the time away. Just a couple of films of note that are opening today as well. Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. Let's move on. Sherlock Holmes, the Guy Ritchie-directed Robert Downey Jr. Jude Law film, also with Rachel McAdams. And speaking of Facebook and emails, Kate from Indiana asked... Oh, no, wrong question. That's she asked about it. It's complicated. I'll get to that. Simone in Seattle asked, what is the hotness ranking of Robert Downey Jr. in Sherlock Holmes? I think I would give him close to a 10, but I wanted your expert opinion. I like Mr. Downey's work. I don't really see him that way. If you'd ask me about Rachel McAdams, I could give you a better album, except I don't rate individuals with a number. That would be, well, that's very 70s. But Simone, I bet you love the scene in the bed and the pillow that you've seen in the trailers, I'm sure. Anyway, well, sorry, I'll have to go see that with you. We had 2 screenings of it. I missed both of them for family reasons. That's right, blame the family for the film critic not doing his job. That's really okay. So hopefully I'll check it out next week. But opening finally in Indianapolis, and this had 2 original screening opening dates, and then we finally got it. But it's the new comedy drama, Up in the Air, which stars George Clooney as a professional. Well, he's a shark, basically. He goes to companies and fires people for those bosses who don't have the stones to fire people, and he finds out his job is on the line. This was co-written and directed by Jason Reitman, who gave us Thank You for Smoking, and Juno, and a lot of familiar faces, J.K. Simmons, Sam Elliott, Jason Bateman, Danny McBride, Anna Kendrick for you Twilight people, whoever you are, and Vera Farmiga. Nice to see her not being terrorized by a demonic child in this film. So here's an audio sample.
Now, this is going to be a little difficult, so stay with me. How much does your life weigh? Imagine for a second that you're carrying a backpack. I want you to pack it with all the stuff that you have in your life. You start with the little things, the things on shelves and in drawers, the knickknacks. You start adding larger stuff, clothes, tabletop appliances, lamps, your TV. Backpack should be getting pretty heavy now. You go bigger. Your couch, your car, your home. I want you to stuff it all into that backpack. Now, I want you to fill it with people. Start with casual acquaintances, friends of friends, folks around the office. And then you move into the people that you trust with your most intimate secrets. Brothers, your sisters, your children, your parents, and finally your husband, your wife, boyfriend, your girlfriend. You get them into that backpack. Feel the weight of that bag. Make no mistake, your relationships are the heaviest components in your life. All those negotiations and arguments and secrets and compromises. The slower we move, the faster we die. Make no mistake, moving is living. Some animals were meant to carry each other, to live symbiotically over a lifetime. Star-crossed lovers, monogamous swans. We are not swans. We're sharks.
Okay, friends, let's review the films of Jason Reitman, Thank You for Smoking, and Juno. So he's made 2 films, and now Up in the Air. in which we are supposed to root for a tobacco lobbyist, a teenager who gets pregnant, a smart teenager who messes up and gets pregnant, and a corporate shark. And I can't believe, well, no, I guess I can, but we wind up rooting for all three. At least I did. I really enjoyed Up in the Air, and this is a film that really can strike a nerve with a lot of people, especially the losing your job part, and the fact that it's also coming out at Christmas, for that. And also the fascinating world. Clooney's character is on the road more than 300 days out of the year. Needless to say, his apartment, his home life, what there is of it, is not all that swift. But he lives in a luxurious world of first-class dining and flights and gold cards, platinum cards, and meeting women like Vera Farmiga, who's incredibly sexy in this and has some great charisma, great chemistry with Clooney. This might be the best teaming he does with an actress in movies. And yeah, I know. I remembered Ocean's 11 and Out of Sight. This is a great performance for Clooney. Of course, the IFJA gave Clooney Best Actor. We named this film Best Film. It's really good to see that he's just getting better. This could be his best work. And because it's the right combination of the suave, the charm that movie goers, especially the female persuasion, like to see, the confidence. And as we see, there's a lot more going on underneath. And I'm going to, dare I compare him to, say, Tom Cruise, in which there is a swagger, and we find out really deep down inside that he is very, very vulnerable. Think about those films Cruise did in the 80s and early 90s, Color of Money, Rain Man. Those pictures. I think Clooney is the same way in this one. We get to see the shark develop a heart and a soul. There is a little bit of a family drama that involves Danny McBride, who it's nice to see a comic get a nice little role like this. Everybody in it's very solid. Like I said, Jason Bateman plays Clooney's boss. Sam Elliott and J.K. Simmons come off the bench for one scene each. Possible Best Supporting Actress nominations for Kendrick and Farmiga, well-deserved on both ends. But really a well-done, grown-up film that makes you think not only about your family, not only about what happens, especially dealing with people who lose their jobs and the fact that these people do this for a living. The Anna Kendrick character comes up with a new method that would take Clooney's job, make Clooney's job of traveling obsolete, so the two go on the road. So there is a mentor-mentee buddy road picture, and there's a love story that I should have seen it coming, but I have to admit I did not. And the family drama, all of the elements, all the different storylines, and it's not an Altman film, it's not a Paul Thomas Anderson film, but all of those elements combined in this story make it really enjoyable to watch. And I'm glad it's finally here, and now you have an opportunity to experience it yourself.
Yes!
Also opening in theaters, because it's the end of the year, and we need big movies, big, big movies, we have the new, well, it's a new film, but it's an old musical. It's a film version of the musical Nine, which, if I remember right, hit Broadway in the early 80s. And, of course, it's directed by Rob Marshall, who gave us Chicago, the film that won Best Picture back in 2001. And it's, of course, the musical version of Federico Fellini's 8½. And it stars all those great Italian actors. I'm being a smart aleck. But it stars Daniel Day-Lewis as a filmmaker who suffers major writer's block. Filmmaker's block, and all the women in his life are swirling around him, either physically, either right in front of him or in his head. And what a string of ladies to have in your life. Marianne Cotillard plays the wife, Penelope Cruz plays the mistress, Nicole Kidman plays the muse, Kate Hudson plays the reporter, Sophia Loren plays his mother, Judi Dench plays the costume designer, and Fergie plays a prostitute who knew the young Guido, the young filmmaker, when he was a boy. Expect a lot of singing. Well, obviously, it's a musical.
Directing a movie is a very overrated job. We all know it. You just have to say yes and no. What else do you do?
Nothing.
Maestro, should this be red? Yes. Green? No. More extras? Yes. More lipstick? No. Yes, no. Yes, no. It's directing.
Be Italian. Be Italian. Take a chance and try to steal a fiery kiss.
Liar, darling. Go out there and lie for Italy. Lie for Italia.
Apparently I'm in the minority on this film. I really, really enjoyed myself watching it. And I guess I shouldn't be critiquing other people's critiques, but some of the complaints that have happened have been there's way more editing in this film than, say, Chicago. And if you had problems watching Chicago, you're really going to have problems with this. This is a guy who needed Dramamine watching The Bourne Supremacy and or The Bourne Ultimatum, and I didn't have any trouble watching this film. I have to admit, I'm a big Fellini nut. I love 8 1/2. I've never seen it on Broadway. I'm sorry, I never got to see Raul Julia or Antonio Banderas do it on stage. And yes, Javier Bardem was supposed to do it, but they got Daniel Day-Lewis in the movie instead. Not bad. Not a bad replacement. But I really got caught up in this story, and I know some people probably, especially in these troubled times, pity the poor artist who's angst-ridden and has trouble and has women in his life. I don't care. I'm sorry, but I really enjoyed this guy's writer's block and the women that came in. It's a very sexy movie. I had my wife at the screening, and when Penelope Cruz was doing her opening number, I thought I was going to pass out. But the energy was a lot. I enjoyed the energy, and also, singing-wise, everybody is vocally consistent and pretty strong, even the people I didn't expect. Kate Hudson, and by the way, this is the best thing Kate Hudson has done in years, and of course it helps that it's not a psychotic romantic comedy, but she's tolerable in this. Daniel Day-Lewis just adds to his phenomenon. This is his follow-up performance after winning another Oscar for There Will Be Blood, and the guy can pull off musicals, but Judi Dench, everybody. Marion Cotillard, who we saw earlier, of course, in Public Enemies, and she won the Oscar for La Vie en Rose, plays the wife, probably the best of the women, female performances. Always nice seeing Sophia Loren, and a nice little nod to Italian cinema back in the 50s and 60s. But, I mean, it didn't feel like, well, it wasn't Mamma Mia, it didn't feel like Celebrity Oki, where obviously some people were better than others. Sorry, guys. But with the vocals in 9, all pretty consistent and all well done. So, what can I say? I got caught up in it. I enjoyed it. I know reference from the, and I shouldn't compare it to 8 1/2 because that's Fellini and this is that. It would be like making a musical Stardust Memories. But I really got caught up in this very fun, very energetic, very sexy story. And hopefully you'll like it as much as I do. So there. All right, opening up in theaters as well for you grown-ups up there that want a comedy, it's Complicated. It's Nancy Myers, of course, the woman who gave us What Women Want and Something's Gotta Give, and it looks like one of those films, and it stars Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin, and Steve Martin, and it's a love triangle, sort of. Not sort of. It is a triangle. It's a title. Give a listen.
You look good, Janie.
Yeah.
You do. You always do. Your hair's shorter.
Longer.
I like it.
Getting to the point.
Knowing how to be divorced is next to impossible.
Not that I want him back.
Of course not. He cheats on you. Your 20-year marriage ends, and then he marries her.
Sometimes it hurts.
Joe, you are so lucky Jerry is dead.
Thank you.
You don't have to bump into him.
Oh, that's true.
Remember what we said. And
my marriage is not turning out as I hoped.
Honey, I'm ovulating.
Daddy, are you crying?
Tearing yourself away.
One tiny note, no his and her sakes.
And you don't think in the future you might want a his?
Oh my God, now we're talking code about my life.
You make it.
OMG, I thought he'd never leave.
What are you doing here?
I've never really known how to live without you.
And it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
I'm having an affair with a married man.
You're not saying. Oh, yes, I am.
Turns out, I'm a bit of a slut.
I thought it was smoking hot.
Oh, God.
My love has no...
What about the fact that I'm now the other woman? I'm the one we hate.
He was yours first.
True.
Why are you taking yourself to the bathroom?
Oh,
Lost in a fit.
My God.
And you don't know, you don't know, you don't
Maybe
know.
We should be growing old together.
I hate to tell you, but we already grew old apart.
That nerdy architect really likes you. You know that, don't you?
I haven't had blood in almost 3 years, Jake.
They must be hammered.
Something like that.
Hey, there's your ex-husband. Uh-oh.
Had a great time to be feeling groovy.
Oh, Jane?
It's complicated. Let's see if we can make this work.
We can't, Jake.
Can we just talk?
Oh, God.
No, see? Too much.
Okay. Good note.
A film by Nancy Myers.
Now, a lot of these depend, I think, on how you felt about so something's got to give and what women want. And The Holiday. That was the other one with the foursome of, not that foursome, Jude Law, Jack Black, Cameron Diaz, and Kate Winslet. Basically, I think how I felt about Nancy Myers' work as a writer and as a director. Pardon me. Sorry there. Is usually the performances are usually overshadow the writing. It helps when you have three talented veteran actors like Streep and Baldwin and Steve Martin. And I should mention John Krasinski, who plays the son-in-law, who knows a little more than probably he should and is okay about it. But it's fun to watch these three people. And it helps overcome some aspects of the script that I usually have problems with from Myers. First off, and as you heard, there is a group of women. Now, ladies, you have to answer this for me. Especially, I call this the motherhood of the traveling pants, which includes Mary Kay Place and Alexander Wentworth and Rita Wilson. But I just don't see women in their 50s and almost 60s jumping up and down and squealing that much. If this happens, please email me, msosi@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Also, I don't need any more old white people dancing the oldies and singing along to oldies. And the square people getting stoned, I don't need that either. So those are little wrinkles along the way that get in the way from me thoroughly enjoying myself. However, this film is shorter than Something's Gotta Give and has less endings, so I will give it that. And like I said, the performances from Street, Baldwin, and Martin are pretty good, and it's nice to see Steve Martin in, not a remake. And according to Alec Baldwin himself, he might be retiring from acting. He also said he was going to move to Canada if Bush got reelected, so I'm not going to take that at much value. Kate from Indiana writes, do we get to see Meryl half-naked and It's Complicated the way we get to see Diane Keaton in Something's Gotta Give? Kate, I don't know why you're asking me that, why you're interested. No. You don't see anything. Gosh, it's become Mr. Skin. You don't see anything, and you actually see more of Baldwin, and you don't quite see that much either. And they're starting to let out the scene, which I thought was very amusing, that involves Mr. Baldwin's body and a laptop. So I just want to leave it at that. But no, you don't get to see Meryl Streep's. And this is all, it's nice to see Meryl do a light comedy, even though she already hit a home run earlier this year with her performance in Julie and Julia. So, guys, you're probably going to have to go see this, so hopefully you saved up for this in the Guy movie department. But, again, shorter than Something's Gotta Give, less ridiculous, performances better than the film itself.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. It was. Not great, but good. And finally, for the art crowd, there is the costume drama The Young Victoria. And this stars Emily Blunt. And there is an Emily Blunt fan club out there. I know who you are. And it's about the early days of course, Queen Victoria and how she's torn between a man who has her ear to the government, played by Paul Bettany, and the man who has her heart, played by Rupert Friend. Miranda Richardson and Jim Broadbent are also along for the fun. Check this out.
I must have been 11 or thereabouts when I learned that I was nearer to the crown than I had thought.
Her Royal Highness Princess Victoria of Kent.
My dearest niece, how come you've grown up so well? I wasn't looking.
From now on, everyone will push you and pull you for their own advantage.
The Viscount Melbourne.
Should you ever need an ally, you have one in me.
I pray for the strength to meet my destiny.
Prince Albert.
Do you ever feel like a chess piece in a game being played against your will?
Do you?
Constantly.
Get out of my way!
But sometimes I feel quite alone in the world.
Never while I am here, Your Majesty.
You had better master the rules of the game until you play it better than they can.
Would you recommend I find a husband to play it for me?
I should find one to play it with you, not for you.
I am young, but I am willing to learn. And I mean to devote my life to the service of my country.
You're out of your depth.
It would make me happier than anything if you'd
marry you.
Marry me.
You are my whole existence. I will love you until my last breath.
This film, The Young Victoria, is written by Julian Fellowes, who won an Academy Award for Gosford Park. Now it makes sense, doesn't it? He also did the screenplay for Separate Lies and Vanity Fair. And this is one of the films, it helps that Julian Fellowes is writing it, that breaks down the stuffiness, the masterpiece theater stereotype of the costume drama. This is a really well done backstage costume drama in the same vein as the two Elizabeth films. If you enjoyed those, I think you're going to enjoy this. It's nice to see Emily Blunt get a starring role in something like this, especially a big character like Queen Victoria, after films like Sunshine Cleaning and The Devil Wears Prada, and Great Buck Howard. She was very good in that as well. But she's particularly good. Always like seeing Paul Bettany, even if he reminds me of a film critic I know. Little off-the-bench three-point shots from Jim Broadbent and Miranda Richardson and Rupert Friend, who is also very good if you remember him in Cherie. So if you're in the costume dramas, but I say I don't think you're going to be bored at this one because everybody is, as you hear in the trailer, everybody wants the queen in one way, shape, or form, and she's going to show right away that she's not to be trifled with. So kudos to Emily Blunt and The Young Victoria.
Yes, 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 yes!
Okay, we are going to take a short break, and then we'll talk about the five films that are on DVD, and hopefully, if I have time, I will answer some of your questions. You can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. And we're going to take a break with a special song for the holidays and a special tribute to one of the actors who died this past year. From Mystery Science Theater 3000, here are Joel and the Bots doing A Patrick Swayze Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Okay, now if you'll all look at your sheet music, we can rehearse my new song.
You wrote a Christmas song?
Hey, there's no tradition like a new tradition.
Wait a minute. Let's have a Patrick Swayze Christmas?
Yeah. Based on my favorite movie, Roadhouse.
Come on, what the heck does Patrick Swayze have to do with Christmas?
Hey, you keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine, okay?
Oh, right, come on, sir. It seems like a nice enough sentiment. We can give it a shot. Come
All
on.
Right, okay, okay. 12-8 time, key of A-flat major.
Oh, good.
Cambot, shoot him the tune. Okay, you'll just have to stay with me, everybody, okay? All your parts are written out. Let's have a Patrick Swayze Christmas. By Crow, T-Robot.
Paul, let's have a Patrick Swayze Christmas.
Right. Hit it, Cambot.
Oh, I start.
I'm sorry.
Okay, pick it up. Open up your heart and let the Patrick Swayze Christmas in.
We'll gather at the Roadhouse with our next of kin.
Not bad. And Santa can be our regular Saturday night thing.
We'll decorate a bar stool and gather round and sing.
Oh, let's have a Patrick Swayze Christmas this year.
Or we'll tear your throat out and kick you in the ear.
Hold it, Cambot, stop it. Crawl, I don't know if I think this is an appropriate sentiment anymore for Christmas.
Hey, what, like a good action sequence don't belong at Christmas?
Well, no, it's just that I've never heard of an action sequence in a Christmas carol before.
Yeah.
Well, then grab hold of your socks and read on, Joel Robinson.
Okay, pick it up from measure 20, Cambot. Lovely intro, though. Very tasteful.
Thank you.
It's my way or the highway this Christmas at my bar.
I'll have to smash your kneecaps if you bastards touch my car.
I got the word that Santa has been stealing from the till.
I think that that right jolly old elf better make out his will.
Oh, let's
have a Patrick Swayze Christmas, one and all. And this can be the haziest. This can be the laziest. This can be the swayziest Christmas of them all.
La, 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 la.
How long before it becomes a standard?
I think you got to come with me. Come on.
Ah!
We'll be right back. Save a leg for me.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. And I'm also on Facebook. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. Hope you're having a relaxing long weekend. Next week's show, we'll probably do not the best of the year, but we'll do a retrospect of the first year of film sociology with some of my favorite interviews. You'll find out. And in 2 weeks from today, I will do my best and worst of 2009. I need a little bit extra time because we'll still get a number of films that trickle in. So, yes, I'll probably do my list again in March because that's what I do. That's how I work. Anyway, so if you're probably done, you got the leftovers taken away, you're going to go out for Chinese. Yes, yes, I know, The Joke and a Christmas Story, which hopefully I'll get to later. But there are 5 films that are out on DVD, 4 of which are worth checking out. So let's start with probably arguably the best of the lot. And this was one of the surprise hits of the year, even though Peter Jackson's name is on it as a producer. But it's the futuristic drama District 9, where aliens show up, habitate, take over an area, and then we don't want them around, and we want to get rid of them.
The whole world is watching.
The course of human history has changed today.
The ship appears to be stopping over Johannesburg City.
They're spending so much money to keep them here when they could be spending it on other things. At least they're keeping them separate from us.
How do your weapons work?
Coming to you from the entrance of District 9, the refugee camp set up to separate aliens from the general population.
They told me I was going to get a vest.
Don't worry about the vest, it'll be fine. Get the new agents, open the door please.
This is an amazing fight.
I haven't seen this type of setup. I don't know, this has got the markings there of, so it's definitely alien, but It's not a weapon.
We're seeing heavily armed forces being deployed into District 9.
Nobody really knew what this place was.
It's gonna be quick. It's gonna be clean. Best of all,
it's gonna be quiet. There's a lot of secrets in District 9.
I'm reminded of the first joke I ever heard from Chris Rock. I was in South Africa recently, or was it Boston? Kudos to writer and director Neil Blomkamp for giving us a great look, a look of shantytown South Africa and a mixture of realism and sci-fi. I remember seeing this in the theaters with my radio buddy Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and at least five or six times we looked at each other with looks of, did I just hear that? Could be Boston, could be South Africa, could be Baltimore. You never know. Oh, by the way, in the running joke, some of my best friends are aliens. That's the only thing that's missing from the film. Shanty towns, cockfights, gambling, police coming to the door and people in the house saying, oh, these aren't my weapons. I mean, yeah, it blatantly holds up a mirror to maybe what our race relations, not just in South Africa, but in other places. It really holds up a mirror and knows it's doing it. So I have not since probably, I'll say probably even in the same vein of Bruno and even Borat. Of course, that was in a more comedic sense. This is more satire. But it also proves, yes, we have Obama in the White House, but we have a long way to go in some cases. And I have to give a special salute to actor Charlton Copley, who plays, he's got three different performances from the same character in one film. He's a kind of a pencil-pushing bureaucrat in the first third, the one that's trying to hand out paperwork to refugees, then becomes a victim of a freak accident and starts to change him in all sorts of ways, and then turns into an action hero in the last third of the film. The one setback I had to the film is the last third, because the first two-thirds is such strong satire about race relations and bureaucracy, and then the last third kind of drops off and turns into an action movie. Probably something a little smarter could have been done. Don't ask me why I didn't write it, and I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. However, this being said, it one of the bigger surprises in theaters, and hopefully more people will check it out on DVD. It's been getting some award buzz. Hopefully it will pick up some technical material. I don't know if it has a shot in the screenplay department. I'd say for the first 2/3 it probably does. So go rent this.
Now that was a good movie.
Also, a documentary that, well, I just got to find out from others if people are as jazzed about it as I was when I got to see it. The documentary, It Might Get Loud, featuring guitarists Jack White, The Edge, and Jimmy Page. And it is directed by Davis Guggenheim, who previously gave us the Academy Award winning An Inconvenient Truth.
I drive everyone crazy trying to get the sound that I can hear in my head to come out of the speaker. It's my voice. That is my voice.
We're going there to have a chat, but it just so happens that the instruments are there as well, so who knows?
I plan to trick both of these guys into teaching me all their tricks.
It's going to be very interesting.
When three of us get together, what's going to happen? Probably a fist fight.
This is the hall where Levy Breaks was recorded. This brings back some memories.
I play a really old guitars, plastic guitars.
The neck's a little bit bent and then it's a little bit out of tune and I want it to be a struggle.
This instrument was just calling out to me 20 minutes in this store just to find the sound of the band. I love effects units.
And it's very rare that he will use the same sound in 23 songs.
This is what I'm actually playing. The rest is the foot pedal, the effects, the whole thing. Might get loud for a second.
We're all attempting to share something with another human being. Every night that we went on stage, it was living, totally living.
Total commitment, getting across what you wanted to say.
But it just comes from the creative spark, really.
That family of storytellers. You're supposed to join the family, become part of it. That's why I took up the guitar in the first place.
Nice.
Who says you need to buy a guitar?
I love the randomness of just these three guitar players, three of which I actually like to various degrees. One I grew up with, listening to, the other in my teenage years, and one most recently. So, this is one of those, I'd like to think it's a documentary that anybody could watch and enjoy. I think if you're a musician, especially if you're a guitar player, this is a must watch. But I think it's fun watching the three of these guys, and you get each individual background story, and then they chat. They talk more than they jam, and I think a lot of people were expecting a jam session out of this. I think beggars can't be choosers in this case. So, but there's some bonus footage on the DVD, and if you're in the good rock and guitar music, check it out.
Yes, 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 yes.
And we move on to finally, in a small way, his films was a film by Mike Judge was treated with the proper respect. The small budget and became a hit in theaters. A small hit, mind you. But his new film, Extract, is on DVD finally, and it stars Jason Bateman as the owner of an extract factory, and you could just say it's the flip side to Office Space. This is Office Space from the boss's point of view.
You see that? They're not going to do their jobs, I'm not going to do mine. I'm just going to sit here.
Oh, no. He definitely lost one of them, and they think that they can reattach the other one, but they're not sure.
Wow. That's hardcore.
How fragile we all are. We're just hanging there. Do you want to go to the bedroom?
I'm a little tired.
Sexual frustration is really hard.
If I don't get home before 8, she puts on the sweatpants. And once the sweatpants are on, I get nothing.
Jonathan. Joel, let me introduce you to the new temps. This is Cindy.
Hey.
Hi.
And, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Damn. She work here?
Yes, she's a temp.
She's a tramp? Temp. Is a killer.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What is he doing? We can't do anything if they don't do anything.
Extract.
I get paranoid when I smoke.
Not if you smoke a little.
Now, is this a film that's in the same vein as Office Space? Will it be as... It's probably... No, it's not going to be as big a cult hit as Office Space, and probably not as even big one as say Idiocracy. And I think part of the reason why those became cult hits was because of the way both films were mishandled by the studio that released them. So it was nice to see finally a film that was got some notice and actually made money in the theater. And I know box office receipts aren't supposed to be important, but it's nice to see Mike Judge, who's just a smart, talented, funny person, get some just dues a little bit, and hopefully more. The film was a minor hit, and hopefully more people will see it on DVD. Everybody in this film is very funny. Jason Bateman, Mila Kunis, who's stupid pretty in this. Kristen Wiig, David Koechner, J.K. Simmons, Ben Affleck, Clifton Collins Jr., two comedies in 1 year for him. Everybody does their job and does it well, and anybody who's ever been an authority figure in any way, shape, or form can relate. So I kind of felt probably with this film similar to, although a little bit better, Clerks 2, where I wasn't sure if I was ready to see another workforce comedy, but it actually pleased me. So go rent it. Also in theater, on DVD, I should say, is the romantic comedy that breaks it down, 500 Days of Summer, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel, about a 500-day relationship.
I love the Smiths.
Sorry?
I said I love the Smiths. You've criticized the music.
Like the Smiths.
Yeah. To die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. I love them.
Holy.
This is a story of boy meets girl.
They made a statue of us.
The boy, Tom Hansen, grew up believing that he'd never truly be happy until the day he met the one. The girl, Summer Finn, did not share this belief. You should know up front, this is not a love story.
I think we should stop seeing each other.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Start from the beginning and tell us what happened.
I tried to talk to her in the copy room. She's totally not having it.
Maybe she was just in a hurry.
And maybe she's an uppity, better than everyone super skank.
In college, they called me perfectly adequate Hanson.
He used to call me anal girl. I was very neat and organized.
So you have a boyfriend?
No. Who needs it? We're young. Might as well have fun while we can.
Wait. What happens if you fall in love?
You don't believe that, do you?
What? It's love. It's not Santa Claus. I think it's official. I'm in love with Summer.
I love how she makes me feel.
Did you ever even have a boyfriend?
Of course.
What happened? Why didn't they work out?
What always happens? Life.
So get over her. I don't want to get over her. I want to get her back.
We've been like Sid and Nancy for months now.
We have some disagreements, but I hardly think I'm Sid Vicious.
No, I'm Sid.
Oh, so I'm Nancy.
This is a film that was co-written and directed by Mark Webb, and a lot of people have been comparing it to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. While I don't think it's as technical as, say, Eternal Sunshine. It's not as imaginative because of the storyline going back and forth throughout the relationship from the time they met to the time they break up and all the days in between. Gordon Levitt and Deschanel have some nice chemistry together, and that's probably the major highlight of the film. Like It's Complicated, there's a few little cliche scenes that I could have done without, like the musical number done to the Hall & Oates song, which you heard in the trailer, and the foreign film montage with Joseph Gordon-Levitt watching himself in foreign film montages. You get the idea. But these two work really well together, and I'm not going to compare it to Eternal Sunshine for the most part. I think because it's similar because it breaks down relationships. I don't think it's as groundbreaking a film as that, but it's still light and enjoyable to watch. So, and hopefully you will too.
Now that was a good movie!
Finally, last but least, on DVD. Now, I have to say, 2009 was a big year, big comeback year for Sandra Bullock, because she had not one, but two hits. One, of course, The Proposal, which proves she could still do a romantic comedy 10 years after the fact, and people will go see it. And, gosh, there's even a little bit, although I don't think it's going to happen, of Oscar buzz for her performance in The Blind Side. But a lot of people forget she did a third film because nobody saw it, and for good reason. The romantic, psychotic comedy All About Steve, which she also produced, and it also stars Bradley Cooper from The Hangover and Thomas Hayden Church.
Harry.
Yes, sir?
Do you ever stop working long enough to, you know, like go out, go on a date?
Oh, well, I have a date this evening. Yeah, Steve. His mother probably thinks he's gay. So my parents are no doubt pimping me out to test his sexuality. Thanks. Better get going. I'm going to fall in love and register at Barnes & Noble, have a beautiful wedding, little tiny plastic bride and groom on top of a cake posing like this.
If you ever want to see any grandchildren, you're going to have to burn those damn boots.
For Mary.
Mayor, your date is here.
He's hot.
It was love at first sight.
Hey, Mary. Let's see.
So not gay.
For Steve.
Oh, wow. Oh, you okay?
It was not.
Yeah.
There's a hurricane off the coast of Texas.
I gotta go to work. I really wish you could be there.
This fall.
I'm going to go meet Steve at his next job. Yeah, yes, it's a storm.
She's hitting the road.
Stop, please! Who's eyes? Want to go have Steve?
And the deeper they get.
You can't stay here.
But you said...
I'm a guy. We say things we don't mean.
All right. Enough of that. If normal-looking people acted the way Sandra Bullock's character act, we would want a restraining order against him. But because it's Sandra Bullock, it's a movie, we're supposed to blow it off as light, breezy entertainment. This reminds me a little bit of the romantic comedy I Hate Valentine's Day that starred and was written and directed by Nina Vardalos, which, to quote The Onion, I'm paraphrasing The Onion, salutes psychotic behavior. It's really sad to watch her go cross-country to follow a guy that really doesn't want to be with her. And she just tries too hard in this. And it's a shame because she's, you know, semi-tolerable in The Proposal, although I didn't like that film as much as everybody else did. But it just felt like they threw it in theaters immediately because it had two stars that had hit films this past summer, The Hangover and The Proposal. So take your chances on this one. I tell you, don't do it.
Turn it off.
Turn it off!
Yeah, indeed. Okay, let's move on. We have a few more minutes. We have to pay salute to a few people. I know this past week we heard about the death of actress Brittany Murphy at the age of 33. Film career, well, let's just say nobody's pining over her as much as, say, Heath Ledger. Was good in 8 Mile and creepy in Don't Say a Word, and actually good and kind of hot in Sin City, yeah, but also did films like Just Married, Uptown Girls, and Little Black Book, and Girl Interrupted, which I still don't understand. But at the very least, she will always be Luann from King of the Hill, and was involved with 3 films that are currently in post-production. I'll just say from a news standpoint, when you're 33 and you die of heart failure, and the toxicology report has been delayed, it's not a good sign. But Brittany, rest in peace. Arnold Stang, best known for many roles. He was the voice of Top Cat, was also in the It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, was Frank Sinatra's sidekick in The Man with the Golden Arm, also in Ghost Dad and Hercules in New York, Arnold Schwarzenegger's first film, as well as the Otto Preminger debacle Skidoo. He passed at the age of 91. And character actor Val Avery, who died at the age of 90, is that right? No, 80, 85. Films like Donnie Brasco, was in every other thing it felt like in the 70s and early 80s. Gloria Brubaker, The Wanderers, Love and Bullets, Up in Smoke, Heroes, Lucky Lady, Killing of a Chinese Bookie, Let's Do It Again, Papillon, Laughing Policeman, Black Caesar with Fred Williamson, Minnie and Moskowitz, The Anderson Tapes, and much, much more. So salute to you, good sir. Okay, well, we just got a couple minutes or so, and yes, I received a bunch of calls and emails because I went off saying that, I said Christmas Story is overrated. Wendy from Michigan writes, why are you so anti-Ralphie? What did he ever do to you? Well, I was 13 when I saw that film, and maybe my snarkiness kind of kicked in, but yeah, you are going to shoot your eye out, and when he did, I thought he got no pity from me whatsoever. Kids don't get toys all the time. Deal with it. And if any of you psych majors out there think that something happened in my childhood, wrong, sorry, didn't. So I just don't think it's that good of a film. And what doesn't help matters is people who react as if I've taken a dump on the American flag, that I'm anti-American. Yes, I didn't like this film. I don't like the Brady Bunch. I don't like the Yankees. And I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. So don't give me this, you're either for us or you're against this feeling on this. Now some of these, I'm not saying that some folks are like this. And Wendy from Michigan, you're definitely not like that. But Joe from Detroit says, I agree with you. I thought I was the only one. No, you're not. It just seems that we get hammered pretty hard for such activity. Shannon from Knoxville, I never got what all the fuss was about that movie either. I know. Lindsay from Baltimore says, thank you. Where's the 24-hour marathon of The Nightmare Before Christmas or Die Hard or The Long Kiss Goodnight? And, of course, my friend Jeff from Georgia says, don't hate any movie because some programmer on Turner decides to run it all day. Several moments in Christmas Story capture the spirit of childhood perfectly. That may be true, and this is me saying this, a bit too obnoxious and a bit too whiny for my taste. So I'm not saying it's the worst film ever. I'm not saying it's the worst Christmas movie ever. It's just a little overrated, and no film is worth showing 24 hours on cable. I know what Jeff said. I don't care if it's Raging Bull or Barely Legal NPR Fans Part 16. Nothing is worth 24-hour coverage. So, I know, just don't kill the messenger, I guess, in this case. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a relaxing Christmas weekend. Don't forget, next week we'll have a retrospect of interviews from Film Sociology's first season. So, until next time, go see a good movie. There's plenty of them out there. You deserve it. You're listening to WFYI 90.1 FM. HD2, The Point, and WFYI.org. I'm Matthew Soucy, and this is Film Sociology. Merry Christmas.